Our gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, the baptism of our Lord is where we officially say it's the mark of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It is the beginning of the many stories we hear about his ministry and about the new law that he has to share with all people and the news that the kingdom of God is here. And a baptism story is a story of new beginnings. Our baptisms are also a beginning role in the ministry of Jesus as well. It's in our introduction, our adoption into the church, where we become children of God. Through our baptism, God claims us as sons and daughters, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and promises to lead us through our lives down many paths that will, in the end, bring us home and together with the Father in heaven. Now, baptism has many different interpretations, customs, and traditions. You probably have known somebody who was baptized in a different way than you. We know that some Christians have adult or believer's baptism only, and that some Christians have a full submersion in baptism, and others still go the distance to have their baptisms in rivers, lakes, and oceans. Some have been going as far as going to the Jordan River in Israel to be baptized. And let me tell you, that river is nasty. I don't know if I'd want to be baptized in that thing or not. Also, last week or the week before, when I was during Christmas time, I went to California to visit my family and my grandson, and I spent a day down at the ocean at Newport Beach at an area called Crystal Cove. It's one of our favorite beaches, and I remember that it was that very beach when I was at the age of 12. My family and I, we drove from North Fargo, North Dakota, all the way to California to see that beach. And I remember the first time that I entered those Pacific waters, and there was this special life to them, if you will. It was almost as if I could feel the power of God through those waves. I also remember as a kid sitting in the sand all those years ago, just listening to the powerful noises of the sea and closing my eyes. And even though I had a relatively good idea who God was, I still felt distant from God. I didn't know where God was. But at that moment, I remember thinking, how can anybody not believe in God's existence when I was witnessing such a sign of God's beauty and creativity through those waves and the sounds that I was hearing? When I walked that same beach this past time I was there, I was still confident that God was with us to go and walk through the troubled waters that we walk through in our lives. I was reflecting upon my life and realized how blessed I really am. But I also reminded myself, one of the last times I actually swam in those waters on the beach was about 10 years ago. I was jumping in the waves where we're not supposed to jump the waves, and the last wave that I jumped literally flipped me over completely and slammed my face first into the sand, where I actually ripped my shoulder out of its socket. I crawled out of the water, not being able to catch my breath, and the shoulder slipped back into the socket, but it was extremely painful. And I learned the hard way that those waters can be a source of life, but also they can be very dangerous. In the same way, water can inspire peace and calmness. It is through the mighty waters that we can experience God's voice and glory. Yes. Now, every time I go near that ocean, even though I don't swim in it anymore, it has become my practice to close my eyes in front of that sea and to try to hear God's voice through those mighty, dangerous waters. Sometimes it is serene and soothing. Sometimes it is loud and very vigorous, but it is always a mystical experience and an opportunity to experience the mighty touch of God's Spirit in our lives. Here we are in the book of Luke, where we read about the baptismal waters of Jesus, where Jesus was claimed by the Holy Spirit as God's beloved Son. And remembering our baptism, it should be a regular practice for the Church of Christ today where we take that invisible cross and we mark ourselves with that invisible cross that we were given upon our baptism. Because that's living out our baptismal vows today. It should be an expectation for every Christian. Often, our baptismal covenants become an accomplishment, an ending point where, oh, we just got baptized, we're done now. But Luke reminds us that when we claim Jesus and we're claimed by the Holy Spirit upon our baptism, we are claimed as beloved sons and daughters of God, created in the image of God. And it is also the beginning of Jesus' path towards the cross, a life of dangerous waters. And so living out our baptismal covenant on a daily basis should lead us on that same path. Living our baptismal vows today might lead us to uncomfortable places. And it might mean letting go of some relationships or to establish new friendships with people that we would never expect. It gives us a chance to unlearn and to redeem oppressive theological and political convictions and to resist and to transform the current systems that perpetuate oppression and depression and dehumanization within our culture. Baptism is supposed to be a born-again experience where we are cleansed and free to live in Christ. Yes, absolutely. But have you ever thought of your baptism experience as being dangerous? As in, like, the dangerous waters of baptism? Well, Jesus, he began his ministry as the baptized Son of God, as was written in the Old Testament scriptures, but then his life changed instantly, and his life was in danger from that point forward when he was led to the cross, led to his death. It's immediately from the time that he emerges from the water, the next scene in the Bible, he is starving and wandering in the desert alone while being tempted by Satan, in where he's invited to seek the easy kind of life and death, the one that Jesus seems to know is awaiting him. You can do this, and you can have that if you just follow me. This is the devil speaking. The story of Jesus' own baptism, though, is a glorious one that sets the tone for our own baptism. Even if that baptism occurred when we were infants. Most of us were babies when we were baptized. But even as we get older, we may not fully understand the true meaning and the purpose of baptism. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's not a ticket to heaven at all. It's a story like the young story of a young boy after baptism and his baby brother in church. Little Johnny sobbed all the way home in the backseat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. And finally, the boy blurted out, "Well, the pastor said he wanted us to go to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Yeah. The more we learn about our faith, we can better understand the significance of what I mean by having baptism as being maybe a little bit dangerous. Christians sometimes have a hard time agreeing on the proper mode of baptism, but its meaning joins together with those ancient biblical stories into a present reality for every Christian, regardless of how we are baptized. Because in baptism, we are liberated from slavery to sin and death through the forgiveness of our sins. We know that we are a forgiven people. We receive this new identity, a new life with a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is present at our baptism as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are invited to once again take on our vocation as people created in God's image, a vocation that involves stewardship and care for each other and God's good creation. It's a vocation that I spoke about last week in my message, where God has created us to be in the image of God and to carry out the ways of God within our world. What we might miss, however, is the fact that baptism, regardless of the water source and how much water, baptism can be a dangerous act. And I'm not talking about being slammed into the bottom of the ocean or being exposed to any nasty parasites and diseases that one can get from those waters that the Christians that still insist on being plunged into the filthy Jordan River, or like a baptism that marks you like with a red scarlet letter. No. But like Jesus, we will be exposed to other, even more frightening dangers. Our baptism is dangerous because it marks us as belonging to Jesus, the crucified Messiah. When we go down into that water, we're doing nothing less than taking on the mission and the message of the one whose name we are baptized. We are to be examples for Jesus. But I never really thought of baptism as being a beginning of a kind of apocryphal story, if you think about it, though. It is a kind of sacrifice, and I might even dare say a brainwashing to the Christian life. I say this as I found a true story of baptism where the father is in church with three of his young children, including a five-year-old daughter, and as it was customary in their church, he sat in the very front row so the children could properly worship the whole service, and in their service, their baptismal font was in the front, and during that particular service, the minister was baptizing a tiny infant, and the little girl was taken back by this, because observing that minister, she was saying something and pouring water over that infant's head. And with a confused look on her face, the girl turned to her father and asked, "Daddy, why are they brainwashing that little girl?" Well, we know it has a whole body and soul washing. But believe it or not, some people would actually think that infant baptism is a form of brainwashing our kids, arguing that sharing our faith beliefs with them and by pounding it into our children's heads from that day is actually a form of abuse. That is why Baptists wait until children are in their teens to baptize them, eliminating it from forcing it on their whole life, which they actually already do anyways, even though there is no baptism until they're believers. But just as baptized followers of Jesus face similar temptations to be comfortable, powerful, and satisfied, instead of focusing on a life of service of God, has called us to lead. Baptism marks us apart, to be set apart for a different kind of life that denies much of our temporal and our pleasurable and consumable things that the rest of the world values. Jesus teaches us to live simply and to live generously in a culture of excess. That is extremely hard to do when those are the pressures that we live by too. And yes, this is something that we can teach our children from the very beginning of life and raise our kids in the faith. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God and God's justice for the poor, the infirmary, the infirmed, the immigrant, the stranger, and the lost. His ministry took him into the back alleys, into hostile territories, where he risked his reputation and his life to bring the good news of God's coming kingdom to those who needed it most. His cause for justice and his identity with outsiders could make his detractors, very angry enough to want to kill him. And indeed they did. When Jesus' followers stand for and with people who cannot stand for themselves, those who seek power, wealth, and the status quo will react negatively. And history teaches us, sometimes violently, which gives us the violent baptism. Jesus told his disciples that their identity as his followers would mark them as being guilty by association in the eyes of many. Yes, maybe baptism is a commissioning to a dangerous vocation. But when we live it out, that vocation is world-changing. Our association with Jesus marks us in the eyes of the rest of the world, but it also marks us in the eyes of God as his own beloved children, in which God is well pleased and who will participate with him in the renewal of God's good creation. As one of my favorite modern-day theologians, John Dominic Crossan, he puts it, God is engaging the great, quote, the great divine cleanup of the world through the ministry of Christ and his church. Through baptism, we are cleansed from our sinful natures, and we're given God's grace forever and ever, and we receive the new life of Christ living in the Spirit. This is not anything to be frightened of, though. When life gets tough and the light of Jesus seems to have disappeared in the moments of despair and doubt and isolation, Martin Luther says that we are to be a reminder of ourselves of our baptism as a mark of the sign of the cross on our foreheads, and to remind ourselves that the light of Christ is always there. So whether our living tasks are easily doable or imminently dangerous, the baptized are called to follow Jesus out of the water and into the world. This, perhaps, is the greatest lesson of Jesus' baptism, where we are called to do what is pleasing to God, humbly committing ourselves to pursuing what is righteous and just according to God's purposes, and doing so not with any expectation of payment or extra credit from God, but because pleasing God is essentially what the beloved children of God do. That's why we live. Life and a spiritual adventure, and it begins when we fall into water and then climb out transformed, moving forward in faith. Now let us serve the mission of Jesus and bear good fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen.